Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Lauren McNamara, who is a witness in the Bradley Manning trial, who produced YouTube videos that have received over 9 million views and caught the attention of Bradley Manning. She testified for the Bradley Manning defense about the many conversations she had had with him before his leaks went public, and she just wrote a piece, The Humanity of Private Manning, at Free Thought Blog. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lauren McNamara.
Thank you for having me here.
And first of all, your response to the verdict today, where obviously the worst charges he was acquitted on, but nevertheless, what, 19 other charges, I believe, all of which add up to over 100 years in jail. So what's your response?
I'm very happy that the aiding the enemy charge was dismissed, as this one was especially dangerous, and not just to Manning. The implication of the government's entire argument was that if you release something to the public, then the enemy is out there as part of the public, so that is therefore equivalent to giving it right over to the enemy, and therefore you're helping the enemy by ever publicizing anything like this that could conceivably make America look bad or weaken its position on the world stage. I'm very happy that that charge was dismissed, particularly as it could carry a life sentence. But all these other charges, and I believe that there were 17 related to espionage that he was found guilty on, these could, as you said, still add up to a life sentence at maximum. And I'm hoping that during the upcoming sentencing phase of the trial, it would be minimal, if any.
And are you in touch with him and his defense? Have you had any feedback since the verdicts were read? There was some indication on the face of his defense lawyer, David Coombs, when the first verdicts was read as not guilty. There seemed to be some relief there, but, you know, obviously Bradley Manning's emotions must have been whipsawed, where he gets off on the most serious charge and then she reads a whole slew of other charges, guilty, 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 guilty. That's got to be pretty hard on him.
Yeah, and I haven't spoken with Manning himself since he was arrested in 2010, and I haven't spoken with his lawyer or any of them since the trial, since I got back from that. But I can imagine this must be an impossible thing to go through, especially after everything he's been through already. I just can't even contemplate what the feelings must be like for him.
So let's talk, Lauren McNamara, about your testimony and what it felt like as a citizen and a civilian to go into that somewhat surreal environment of a military court-martial.
Well, this was all very new to me, and as you might expect, I had never done this before or been involved in anything like this before. So going there in an unfamiliar city and just being driven around to the fort and everywhere else, and just they were very helpful, the military, in guiding me around there. That was quite fine. They were all very accommodating, but it was still a very new thing. And just being there, seeing all these, you know, other soldiers who had spoken with Manning or been involved with him in some way, and even Colonel Morris Davis, who hadn't spoken to Manning but was the former chief prosecutor at the Guantanamo Military Commissions. It's almost a surreal experience to see all of these people who are usually just so far removed from your everyday life. And I had never testified in a court or anything before then, let alone a court-martial, so having to go in there and be in front of everyone and talk about all that, just knowing the significance of it all, just what this event entailed and everything that hinged on my testimony, it was somewhat stressful and it did make me nervous and it took me some time to ease up, but by the end, I was glad it was over, and I was glad that I was able to contribute whatever I could to Manning's defense.
And again, I'm speaking with Lauren McNamara, who was a witness in the Bradley Manning trial, who produces YouTube videos that have received over 9 million views and caught the attention of Bradley Manning. She testified for the Bradley Manning defense about the many conversations she had had with Bradley Manning before his leaks went public, and she wrote about this in a piece that's available at Free Thought Blog, The Humanity of Private Manning. And just let's, you know, I don't want to take up your time, Lauren, but I'd like to get just a flavor of the conversations that you had with Bradley Manning before these leaks went public and what you talked about, how he caught your attention, what you shared in common, and then later we can talk a little bit about what you said in his defense.
After he found me through my videos, he expressed that he felt we had very similar views when it came to political issues, religion, LGBT issues, world affairs and things like that, and also just computer science fields and just technology in general. He felt I was knowledgeable about that just as he is. And so he seemed to feel that I was someone he could talk to about all that, and we spoke extensively about these things. He opened up to me almost immediately, and it often seemed like he was simply looking for a sort of kindred soul to talk to about these things. And he told me about his life before the military, his struggles to be accepted by his family and in school, and his difficulties finding employment, and how he eventually ended up in the military as a way of, I guess, sort of doing something with his life. And even though he had had difficulties there with other people in the military harassing and bullying him, at the time he said he really did believe that the military was a force for good, and he believed in its mission. And he told me very much about his job, and he was always very concerned about doing his job competently and very well and helping other people in the field. That was his utmost concern. And if anything, all he objected to about the military was how some of their inefficient systems simply got in the way of him doing his work as an intelligence analyst and helping get people the information they need to operate more effectively in the field. So that was generally what that all was about. And he talked to me a lot about topics like that.
And clearly this was a platonic relationship. You're a young mother of two young children. And when you said that he struggled to be accepted, was that because of his homosexuality?
In part, I believe it was. I think he made reference to that. And just that he was very different from many other people. He was very dedicated to his work in a way that, you know, others weren't necessarily. Like, others certainly might just be doing their jobs, but he just expressed this desire to go above and beyond. And in many ways, he seemed even more dedicated to his job than others. And he was different. He seemed to me to be a reserved kind of person who was very thoughtful, a bit more introverted, and I know there were various reports from others in the military that he had trouble relating to others and that others had bullied him, and I would imagine that his differences, and in part just he was a very small person and just visibly different from everyone else, and you know how people are, especially in a hyper-masculine culture such as the military, where any sort of difference is just singled out like that and attacked, and that did seem to happen to him.
Well, of course, this was the military of don't ask, don't tell. So his homosexuality would not have been an issue. He would have kept that entirely to himself, right? They were bullying him over his stature, his size, whatever. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, and I'm sure there was some harassment over him being perceived to be gay. I mean, even under something like don't ask, don't tell, where anyone who's known to be openly gay is kicked out, as well as that policy where you're not supposed to harass people over that, people find proxies to harass someone for that. They won't say you're gay. They'll just say you're effeminate or weak or a sissy or things like that without being out and out homophobic about it, just indirectly. There are ways around that, you know.
Again, I'm speaking with Lauren McNamara, who was a witness in the Bradley Manning trial. She produced YouTube videos that have received over 9 million views and caught the attention of Bradley Manning. She testified for the Bradley Manning defense about the many conversations she had had with him before his leaks went public, and she's written about this at the Free Thought blog, The Humanity of Private Manning. So let's talk about your actual testimony. Obviously, what you've told us about is pretty much what you were trying to establish in his defense, that he wasn't the traitor that he's been portrayed as, that he was somebody that cared about the military. So give me a sense of what you presented to the court-martial and to the judge, Colonel Denise Lind, and how you fared both in terms of your defense attorney, David Coombs, and the prosecutor.
Well, those were the sections that the defense chose to highlight in our conversations, the parts where he had talked about being very concerned for everyone's welfare in the battlefield, hoping that everyone would be able to get home safely to their families. And he specifically talked about wanting to, you know, improve the quality of his work, improve the quality of information that he could provide to people in the field in order to improve outcomes in that way. And that those were mostly the relevant sections that the defense attorney had me highlight, the parts where he expressed how much he cares about human life in general, just to emphasize that he is not someone who would be reckless and endanger people irresponsibly or ever intend to hurt America or American troops. And what the prosecution chose to highlight were various parts that I felt were very irrelevant, where he complained about, you know, the military computer systems, but the context that they didn't allow me to say was because these systems were outdated and broken and getting in the way of him doing his job. And there were other parts where he talked about, like, the importance of classified material and so on, and I don't know if they were intending that as a way of saying, oh, he should have known better, oh, he already knew how important classification is and respecting that. But really, he was just, you know, expressing, you know, a sort of nuanced view on that. And a lot of what he said had more nuance than what they allowed me to say, such as when he sent me a URL to a system he had developed on his own private website, which he called an incident tracker for his unit, which had no content on it at the time, as it was just the sort of computer program that I might develop in my spare time as well, just a basic system with no content in it. But they didn't allow me to clarify that there was nothing there. Meanwhile, they used this to sort of imply that he was being loose and reckless with information, sending it to people outside the military even then. And that wasn't the case.
And, of course, these conversations that we're talking about took place over the Internet, right? They weren't face-to-face or on a telephone.
No, I never spoke with him in person or over the phone. Those were the entirety of our conversation.
And was there any hint in your email conversations, which went on for quite a period, right? How long were you in communication with Bradley Manning?
We spoke from about February of 2009 to August of 2009, and we spoke on over a dozen separate occasions.
So tell me then, was there any inkling in your conversations about what was clearly troubling him at the time, which led him to release this information to the public?
No, there was very little indication of that. That while he had his troubles in the military, he just always seemed focused on doing his job, and I never expected that he would be the one to do this. And I didn't even realize or remember that this was the same person until later when his chat logs with Adrian Lamo were released, and I recognized the username that he used to speak with me. And that was quite a surprise because I was not expecting that from him.
And Adrian Lamo was the government snitch that was a friend of his, right, who turned on him. Is that, you had no connection to him, right, or weren't aware of Adrian Lamo?
No, I had no connection with him. I believe Manning just came to Lamo to talk about what he was planning, what he had access to, and what he was going to do with all that. And then, as you know, Lamo turned him in.
So essentially what your value to the defense was that you were trying to point out that this guy didn't hate America, didn't hate the military, didn't hate his fellow soldiers. In fact, the opposite is true.
Yeah, he's not a traitor. He didn't want to help Al-Qaeda or whatever else or the enemies of the U.S., and my conversations with him showed that his goals were exactly the opposite of that, that he was concerned about people, that he wanted to help America's military in whatever small role he could. And that just doesn't support the idea that he wanted to help aid America's enemies.
And did you expect anything different, Lauren McNamara, in terms of this verdict? It seems like the deck's been stacked against him, not to mention the pretrial period that he went through where he was treated quite brutally for a long time. And obviously you haven't had any communication with him during that period, but what are your thoughts about how this whole thing has evolved and the toll it must have taken? By the way, when you saw him both in the courthouse, Bradley Manning, and in the jury room, which of course is empty since there was no jury, it wasn't a jury trial, did you get any sort of sense of what was weighing on him?
Well, when the court was in session, he had a very blank look on his face, and it was very hard to tell what he might be thinking, if anything. And I could only assume that he was just utterly shell-shocked after everything he had been through. And that was very sad to see. But once the court was in recess and I was waiting there with the defense and Bradley, he was just talking and laughing and joking with the attorneys and the guards who stay near him at all times. And that was a relief to see that he was still able to smile and be conversational, and he wasn't just this person who had been utterly destroyed by everything he had been through, which I think is near miraculous considering how absolutely horrible his treatment was in Quantico. And today, I have to say it was a relief that he was found not guilty on the aiding the enemy charge. I was expecting the worst. I really was. I was not optimistic about this. And I expected the worst, but I also knew that at a minimum there would be something that he was found guilty on, especially considering that he already pled guilty to a number of those charges. So even though the current situation is also pretty bad in terms of the potential sentence he faces, this may have been the best that we could hope for.
Well, just in closing, Lauren McNamara, the portent of the combined sentences for, what, the 17 charges that he's been found guilty on could amount to over 100 years. Obviously, the sentencing begins tomorrow, so we'll learn more. But, I mean, it feels, you know, we've used the word surreal a few times here. It just feels surreal to me that this young man could spend the rest of his life in prison when, you know, we've had this George Zimmerman shoot a young unarmed kid and get off. I mean, there's something weird about the proportionality of justice in the country.
It does disturb me. It disturbs me very much that he might still face all this just because of what he did. And regardless of what we think of what he did, my perspective is that he's simply suffered enough after all this, and what's needed is just a shred of mercy here to be shown to him, because that's what's been absent so far throughout this entirely just viciously prosecuted trial.
Well, Lauren McNamara, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Lauren McNamara, who was a witness in the Bradley Manning trial. She produced YouTube videos that have received over 9 million views and caught the attention of Bradley Manning. She testified for the Bradley Manning defense about the many conversations she had had with him before his leaks went public, and she wrote about them at the Free Thought blog, The Humanity of Private Manning. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the resumption of the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks with a longtime negotiator for the Palestinians.